KO4HX mobile. Sorry about that. I was just saying, I guess with the kind of work y'all do, that's always a challenge, pushing the limits on everything and trying to come up with something new all the time.
Project engineers think that a more severe test means the tool is going to be more reliable, but all it really does is, you know, we've got a design that we've already finished, and they suddenly decide, oh, we're going to test this at a harsher test. And so now we have to go back and redesign and requalify the hardware and the software, and that's like 6 months to a year to do that, and they don't understand that all the time. So what's going on here? Hang on.
Mr. Patrick, Mr. Eric, KO4MUS.
There. But anyway, yeah, so a lot of the times they're just trying to convince them that, you know, their harsher test, A, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a better tool, and B, is just going to make things more difficult for regulatory reasons. So, I don't know. Usual fights.
Sounds like somebody just wants to fight sometimes, doesn't it? And good morning, Jody, KO4HGX.
KO4MUS.
How's it going, WTJKT?
Absolutely lovely this morning. Hope all's going good with your travel.
Made it past Greenville, so almost to the office here.
It's been with you.
Just chugging along, man. Enjoying some of this beautiful weather we're having.
Friday to get you your angle grinder?
If you want to, or Monday, whichever you want to do.
Okay, so I can definitely get it to you Friday.
Where you want to meet up? You want to meet at Aunt Sue's? Or Sue's, not Aunt Sue's, but Sue's.
Max, I usually meet some friends for lunch down there on Fridays.
I'm not real sure where that's at, but I could probably find it.
And, you know where Lebanon Road heads out east from Pendleton?
Yep.
Heads east of Pendleton on Lebanon Road, there's this big five-way intersection, and it's like Max Kitchen or something like that on Google Maps.
Can look it up. What time? Did you want to meet?
15. Oh. It's in a backup on northbound here. Wonder what's going on. But 85 northbound is backed up pretty good south of I-185.
Good this time of morning.
Shane doesn't get caught up in it. I am pulling in here to the tool truck, so I'm going to have to swap vehicles, and then I will return shortly. KO4HGX.
WTJKT.
Right there, but headed there pretty close, but I'll still be here for a bit.
One week.
Dry weather, so we're trying to finish up a pipe crossing we put in, that, you know, to try to get the, you know, get the rock in and get it paved by Thursday.
Our city guys up in Shelby, they're busy right now. Apparently there's an extremely large sewer project going on. They're trying to get this this neighborhood of about a couple hundred homes on a sewer, because right now everybody's on septic, so they're trying to get everybody on sewer. So they're burying all that big green sewer pipe.
And that's always a fun job. When you start hooking all them homes up like that and stuff, man, it just makes it a blast.
That'd be a really crappy job sometimes.
It makes it difficult because you got a percentage you got to keep when you put the pipe in. It's got to flow, you know, so that stuff will flow correctly. So it's got to be at a certain percent that it goes downhill.
Around Shelby, so we have a lot of, you know, rolling hills, and this neighborhood is definitely on a good slope. They do have a pump station down there where it all comes together, and then I'm not sure where they're pumping it to, but in any case, you know, it's a big expansion. Shelby is growing in leaps and bounds, and you know, it's just so many people moving in, they're building so many houses, they've got to expand the sewer to accommodate everything, because you can't have that many septic tanks out there.
In South Florida, where I come from, you know, they were getting everybody off of septic systems, you know, because all the, I guess it would be the drain fields All that water all heads for the river.
Systems are working properly, that's not a big deal because, you know, the drain field goes out in the ground and then it's just all bacteria and stuff and, you know, it becomes food for earthworms and stuff. But, you know, when they're not working properly, that's when you get issues. And a lot of people complain about, like, it only takes one person in the neighborhood having a backed up septic system and the whole place stinks to high heaven. And, you know, with these more modern neighborhoods, you know, I have a feeling what they're doing is the developer is prompting this because they want to go in and buy all the houses and rebuild them with, you know, McMansions like they've been doing lately, so the backed up septic.
The prime word is properly working.
They don't have restrictions on what they put down the drain.
Not what they put down in the drain is the big problem.
Yes, no, they do not.
Yeah, they just believe it's got a hole there. We can go ahead and put what we want in it.
What do we want? Right down the drain.
I used to do permanent repair when I right out of high school for my uncle, and fixing sewer lines was one of the jobs. And you'd be surprised at what we always found in there.
The little white rats, right?
Condoms, underwear, bras, pictures, toys. You name it, we have found it. The worst was when they had the grinder pump to pump it up to the septic system. they thought that it was just like a garbage disposal, I guess. It was going to just eat anything you put in it.
Text, paper towels, whatever. Yeah, they were using those down south, too. Started getting and using all them grinder pumps.
Trying to unstop in the house that got backed up with the kitchen sink. That absolutely stunk the worst out of anything we dealt with.
All that food and grease mixed together in there and sitting there and plugging up, I guarantee you that was pretty rough. Crap, we're talking. I'm going to have to get out of here and get in there and go to work. So I'm going to tell y'all both, y'all have a great morning, and y'all enjoy your day. God bless y'all, and I'll be clear on your finals.
Be good to hear you this morning, and love talking crap with you. KO4HKX.
You have a safe day, and we'll talk to you again soon. W2JKT. And Patrick, I'm starting to lose a repeater here at exit 32, so I'll say 73 to you as well, and hope you have a great day. And we'll catch you again probably Thursday morning on my way in. Talk to you then. W2JKT.
Hey, good to hear you this morning, and I hope you have a great day. KO4HKX. Clear.
Where's that LK, mobile?
Shame, KO4HKX. You didn't get caught up in any of that traffic out there on 85 Eric was talking about, did you?
Headed down the one lane, or at the White Horse Road, northbound. So I got caught in that, but that was about 5 minutes at the most.
Good. At least you didn't have to stay in it too long. So how you been? Haven't talked to you much lately.
I was just going to say I was listening to you and Jody and Eric. I just got in the truck, and everybody who grew up in the 80s knows that if you drop a baby alligator down, you flush a baby alligator down in the toilet, it's going to grow into a monster alligator that terrorizes everybody's sewer system down in Florida.
Everybody knows that, right? I mean, that's just a given.
I must have been 12, 13 years old. There was a ABC Sunday night movie about an alligator, a baby alligator. Scared me to death when I was little, or when I was that young. I guess I wasn't really that young. I must have been 11 or 12.
How old I was first time I watched that movie, but probably right around then.
Well, before I looked at the sewer system, you know, without thinking about that.
Amazing what people try to put down it and what we have found in them. Like I said, don't want to get into it on the air, but it was pretty nasty and just in awe that they caught that down that little hole.
I can only imagine years ago at Home Depot in Simpsonville on Fairview Road. They cleared land and built that Home Depot and started developing Fairview Road, and there was a neighborhood across the street there that was kind of lower than everything else. Excuse me just a minute. I got a frog in my throat. But anyway, not long after they developed that area, a bunch of houses along this one street, every one of their basements overflowed, got backed up, and just exploded into their basements.
Believe it. It's amazing the pressure that will be on one of those lines when you relieve it. So you had to be careful of that. Seen some people get covered in that because they weren't paying attention.
When you have to deal with your own crap like that, but when you got everybody else is coming in your house, that's not good. Oh goodness. Yeah, I'm good. We had Ada over this weekend. She spent the weekend with us a couple nights. So that took up a little bit of my time. Didn't get a lot done, but took her out on the pond, introduced her to the canoe and to a couple of fish, and so that was fun.
Fun, because how old is she now?
2 and a half, just over 2 and a half.
I was watching their faces and their stream of emotion when they're the first time they've ever done anything like that. It was always a joy for me.
Took to the boat and the water really well. She didn't really care for the fish that much, but she did like the boat, so that was fun.
Hey, I'll get to do those things with my grandchild, but I'm not rushing.
Understand. We didn't rush them either, or didn't want to rush them, but now that there's three married, they seem to be coming pretty quickly.
Trying to get out in traffic there on 11. Some days it's something else.
It's like that. It can be empty and then can be full of traffic. The next time you turn around, you got to be careful out there. And people like to drive very quickly down that road.
They put speed limits on, don't nobody sees them.
There's been at least one bad accident every year since we moved out there at the Aunt Sue's intersection. And I think there was two this year. So some neighbor was complaining to DOT, trying to get a traffic light there or a traffic circle or something. They came out a couple weeks ago and put those reflector poles in the middle of the lane on both sides of that intersection. It looks really bad. And if you're coming down 11 down the hill on either side, it just looks like the paint mark. You can't really tell it's reflectors until you get close to it. And of course, it didn't take 2 weeks, and half of them are knocked down already.
Surprising. They'd have been better off if they just put up a caution light and left it at that, warning people that, you know, there's a car there.
Spend less money if they would just post a state trooper out there all day long for 3 or 4 weeks and just let him write tickets. They've reduced the speed limit down to 45, but it's downhill coming to that intersection both ways. I think what happens, people get down to the bottom and then they say, oh, I want to go here, so they hit their brakes, because there's been a couple of trucks that have gone off in the woods right there where they're coming down the hill and couldn't stop in time. There was a head-on collision there, the last one, 3 months ago or so. Somebody was trying to make a left turn and somebody decided to pass. Even though he was in the lane, you know, it's two lanes, one lane each way, he tried to pass. Somebody was sitting there, you know, coming the opposite direction. I don't understand how they don't see him.
I don't know. All I can say is maybe they're paying attention to too much attention to the car they're trying to pass and not looking ahead, and just taking for granted that it's open, which taking for granted will get you every time.
Well, I would just like to try to keep it, you know, as scenic as possible out there instead of putting a traffic light, but maybe a flashing yellow or something would help. I don't know. I just, the more stuff they do, the more industrialized or whatever it starts looking, you know.
Surprised they haven't done something with 11 already, using it to, like a Greenville bypass coming up out of Atlanta. I mean, it just, surprised they haven't thought of something like that or tried to do it already.
The idea is they're trying to keep it scenic. You know, if they do that, then it'll just be nothing but four lanes in traffic.
Not giving them any ideas at all. I'd just as soon it stay the way it is, too. Some of these people leave the area.
Okay, I know that Pickens County is trying to ward off development. They're talking about they've had offers from large corporations want to come and build plants along Highway 11 there in Pickens County. And they're trying to fight that off as long as possible because they got some people in Pickens County that want it. You know, obviously they look at the tax base, but they're trying to keep it as scenic as long as possible.
Well, I hope they can keep doing it because we're losing our small towns around here, that's for sure. I consider Brevard gone already. Done too many people come in with too many other ideas and made it into it's not a small town anymore. There's not much left of it.
Surprised Rosman stayed as small as it is.
Pretty much that's where most of your locals have moved to now, is in that area and down where I'm at, because can't afford to be anywhere else.
You need to get with the times. Everybody knows it's better to live in a city type atmosphere. Keep everybody all together, and it saves on everything else, right?
Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and the 15-minute city just don't cut it for me.
Yeah. Oh well. Maybe we can hold them off. Hold them off for our kids and for our grandkids.
Changes, it's going to happen no matter what we do, but it don't mean I have to agree with everything that happens. So, and I can still fight for what I want.
So this weekend at the radio rally, are you just going, or are you working in a booth or anything like that? I don't know exactly what they're doing, but are you planning on helping out?
I'm going to go and support them, but the reason I haven't volunteered to do more with it is because it coincides with some other things that I usually do. So I'm trying to at least go and make a showing in support of it.
I'd like to go, but I took the last two Fridays off. I really don't want to take another one off right now. I mean, I would like to. I'd like to take every Friday off, but I don't know if I'll be able to go there and stay awake and enjoy myself.
Well, it's all day, so you could go home and take your nap and come back around lunchtime or something like that. I mean, or a little later, whatever. So they're going to be out there all day. I think they're going to stay camp overnight. Some of them are into the evening and have a bonfire. You know, just a social gathering kind of thing.
I've been thinking they're going to have some stations set up and operating.
They're bringing the two TS-2000s that the club owns, and they're going to have those set up. And they're inviting people to come out and just have a good time.
Yo, the club used to have a trailer. They had the logo and everything on it, and they had a little shack set up in that trailer. I wonder whatever happened to that.
I never, I've never heard anything about it until this is the first, so couldn't tell you.
Think about it when we were talking. It's been a while. It's been a few years since I, you know, since when I remember seeing it, but just happened to think about it.
That would be pretty neat, where you could just roll up and there you got your mobile communications trailer.
It's a pretty good setup. I don't know if it was belonged to, you know, one person. I thought it was a club trailer. I could be wrong, but it was set up pretty good.
Age kick. I have watched some YouTube videos about guys building those trailers, and it seems like a pretty neat idea. I've actually thought about it because I got two of the little 16-foot enclosed trailers. Thought about doing that with one of them.
For those kind of special events, you just, somebody tows it in, you either run it off a generator or run a power cord to it. Some of them have air conditioning, you know, if it's in the summertime, or heaters. Got a dry place to sit and operate. If you do it right, where you can open it up a little bit so more people can kind of see what's going on, too.
For that, well, like I said, I thought about doing it with the one that I used when the truck was hit, turning it into there, because it's already got the generator, heat, and AC in it. It would be just a matter of reconfiguring the inside of it, which wouldn't be too big a deal.
But you put it out there now, somebody's going to be calling you. No. Yeah, that would be fun to do something like that, but that's another project.
Just another project, and that's what keeps me from saying, yeah, let's do it. Already got enough of that going on.
Okay, I was listening last night to the net, to Colin talking about the EME and that station that, what he said, he had like 40 70-centimeter antennas all tied together or mounted, you know, where they'd all work together. That's pretty amazing. I know people do things like that, but that's crazy.
Think about the room that would take to do, if nothing else, and then the complexity of all the coax and bringing it all together. That'd be a feat in itself.
To look that station up. I know he's a silent key now, but look up his QRZ page. That'd be interesting to see. I've seen some things, you know, through the years, a couple pages that were dedicated to that kind of stuff, and just looking at the room, the amount of land they have to use for that. It's pretty amazing what some people put together.
Isn't it amazing the creativity and imagination of people when they actually want to do something, what they can come up with?
I realize it took more than 2 minutes to get a contact. You know, once you transmitted bouncing off the moon like that, I just kind of assumed it went a little faster than that. I don't know why. I don't have anything to didn't have anything to base it on. I just didn't realize it would take that long.
And you don't realize how far away the moon is when in actual distance is, I guess, what does it for me. Because, I mean, you can see it. You think, okay, it's 10, 15 miles away, you know, normal line of sight. But it's quite a bit further than that.
Learned how far away it is. I think, what is it, the sun? Is it 93 million miles? Is that what it is? Or 93 million sticks in my head. I know that. I'm sure that's not the moon.
Reason 250 is coming into my head for the moon.
I'll look it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, see if I can find it.
A set of those?
Fortunately, I kind of wish I did, though. It'd be interesting to see what kind of stuff has changed.
I don't have haven't set up either, but it would be interesting to have, you know, the last set around to see how things have changed, or to, you know, the year you were born, something like that, how things have changed since then. I believe we'd all be amazed.
I had a set when I was a kid, and in fact, knowing my mother, she's probably still got it on the bookshelf, that set. I never even thought to ask her, because she tends to not throw anything away. She's not a hoarder, but she just doesn't buy new stuff. She'll, whatever she has, it, until it quits working, she will not buy anything new.
Before I could get anything done about it, my father or stepdad got rid of all my mom's books she had in the house. So I don't know what happened to them.
Same. We've got some books that Beth's parents had. Her dad had a lot of outdoor hunting, trapping, fishing, special interest, that kind of stuff, electrical stuff, where he just was reading about it. Some really interesting books from 40s, 50s, 60s, things like that. It's interesting to look back on them.
Yeah, Mom had a lot of cookbooks and canning and preserving meat, that, you know, that kind of stuff, and how-to books, I guess. She had a lot of that stuff around. She was always into something, making something, cooking, crafting. Just get it and try it, and usually done pretty good at it.
And 4ZLK. Well, I know that those kind of skills are pretty much lost. There's a movement, you know, people are researching them and starting it again, but for the most part, society has no idea how to do that kind of thing anymore.
That's a skill we don't need anymore. All of our food comes from the grocery store. What are you thinking?
Don't understand why people have to hunt and kill animals anymore. Why don't they just get their meat from the grocery store like everybody else?
Yeah, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I think we ought to learn to have intelligent conversations with each other again would be a big one. You can't have a discussion about stuff anymore without offending somebody.
Disagree with you, and that offends me. You know, I'm kidding. About, I don't understand why people hunt. I don't know if somebody said that to me or if I read it somewhere that somebody had actually said that, but, you know, why do we have to kill animals? Why can't we just get the food from the grocery store, like, you know, as if the grocery store's not getting animals that were killed?
I agree with you, but now you really got to worry about it because they got the test tube chicken and beef coming out. So, not going out and hunting it anymore.
I'm not on board with that. I hope it never comes down to where we're forced to that eat that kind of stuff.
From last I heard, and I haven't looked lately, the chicken is already out. So I'm going to have to do some more research on it. But I think if people started really paying attention to what they were eating, they would just be horrified.
We got a lot of ingredients in our food over here that Europe doesn't even allow in their ingredients or allow in their food.
Now they're at least required to put it on the ingredient or on the labeling that it's bioengineered. Before they weren't even required to do that. So at least now they're telling you if you start looking. Hey, how's the bunk beds coming?
Well, they are in the same place they were a couple weeks ago when I was talking about them. I have not been able to get to it. But I need to buckle down and get on it.
All right, well, I just hadn't heard you mention them in a little while, so thought I'd ask.
Headboard and footboard, they're all cut and put together, and still have to glue them together, but I've got them drilled out for the dowel rods, and everything's cut and measured and put together and sanded. I got to work on the rails, and I got to glue them together and, you know, work on the side rails. So that's where I'm, that's the point I'm at right now.
I can find some time here for too much longer. Getting it finished up. I know the granddaughters were asking about them, if I remember correctly.
Done before the end of June, so I need to buckle down. These weekends fly pretty quick.
I believe it's already the middle of April this year. I mean, it, time is just flying by anymore.
N4ZLK. Are you in Cherrydale today?
All day until, well, not all day. I had to two shops over on 290, cut across State Park and go to them.
The end of your day when you get those?
They were out there on an island by themselves, and Tuesday was getting short with everything that's going on over here in Cherrydale. And I end up right there on the Cherrydale end of State Park, so I figured why not just run out there and grab them and then head home. I got to go home, heading home anyway.
I'm really surprised they haven't done anything with State Park Road and widened it. That road is, there's a lot of development out there. There's not really any new development, but I think people use it as a cut through, and it's busy all the time.
Busy. And then you got, what is it, East Darby that cuts across it there. There are several things that cut across it, Schoolhouse Road, or Reed School Road, I mean. And then, that'd be the way to get relieve some traffic through there again.
I've grown up on, or developed in that, out that road since I was a youngster. Used to be able to drive it and not see a lot of houses. But that certainly changed.
It's amazing the amount of development that I see down here in the last, you know, 9.5 years that I've been coming down here.
Growing up and you lived up there, did you ever come down to Greenville much?
Not a lot, but we come down here because it was access to stuff that you couldn't get around where I was at. But growing up, we mainly went to Asheville. But since I've grown up, I try to stay away from that place.
In 89, 90, I worked a job. I worked with a guy. He was in his late 70s then, and he remembers they lived up in Hendersonville, and he remembers as a kid his older brother had a Model T or a Model A, I can't remember which one. They lived up on a mountain, and they would have to come down. His brother would back that car down the mountain because the reverse gear was the strongest. He'd back it down the dirt road, and they would drive to Traveler's Rest, spend the night, and then go into Greenville on a Saturday morning to watch a movie. And then they would, you know, shop a little bit, and then they would drive all afternoon and all evening to get back home to Hendersonville.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think about that, and that's how people were simpler life that we had going on, because you sure can't do that now.
It's a drive, too. I mean, those roads were, most of them were dirt back in the mountains, and especially during his time. Let's see, he was almost 80 in 1990 or 1989, something like that, so that was the early 1900s. That is where the name Traveler's Rest came from. People would come down from Asheville or Hendersonville and spend the night on their way to Greenville.
I think there's a water spout that where everybody stops at the water bottles. That was a stop to get water from your cars going up the mountain when they were running up.
But the repeater was showing full scale, but you were not making it.
The power lines that jumped out. details, brace checks. I'll be clear. 7-3 Shane, have a business day.
Line and 7-3, yeah, you have a good day too, Patrick. I'm almost home, so enjoy talking to you this morning. Hope you have a very productive day. KO4HKX, N4ZLK. N4ZLK. ZLK clear.